Okay. excuse me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this new year, and we thank you for your faithfulness to us this past year and how you will continue to remain faithful and committed to us. So we thank you for your goodness and your grace. And God, as we turn to your word and as we look into this portion, that you will indeed open our eyes, God, open our ears and open our hearts to see what you have to say to us, God, and so that we may remain committed to you. Speak to us, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm just going to be reading from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. I'm going to be reading from NIV. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What does the worker gain from his toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on man. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. This is the word of the Lord. it is a joy for me to be here. I'm sure many of you guys, if not all of you guys, stayed up late last night, you know, just celebrating and just ushering the new year. And I hope you guys are not too tired this morning. I mean, I would understand, I wouldn't be offended if you start, you know, kind of just nodding, you know, as you doze off during the message. You know, I'm just not as young as you guys are, so, you know, I can't really stay up. So I went to sleep right after it just hit, you know, midnight. I was like, Happy New Year, and then I just went to sleep. But I'm sure many of you guys were, you know, just celebrating and whatever. But, you know, as we reflect on the past year, I think there are a lot of things that have happened, right? I mean, even just nationally, with now our national debt, you know, surpassing $15 trillion. I mean, it's like it's an incredible number. I mean, just I can't even just imagine. I don't even know how many zeros there are, but it's just crazy, right? And all the things that is happening, and also with you know, the killing of Osama bin Laden, and all these things that have happened that we didn't really expect. Right? And you know, if this past year is an indication, then this new year also promises to be full of surprises and turmoils, right? And I think so the main thing that I want to just talk to you about today is that there is a time for everything. There is a season for all kinds of activity to take place under the sun. And you know, when we were young, we don't really think about what this life is really about, right? We just kind of go with the flow. When we are like little kids, you know, our parents feed us and basically tell us what to do, and we just kind of go with the flow. But you know, as we grow up and as we mature, you know, our capacity to think on our own, it grows as well. And then we kind of look at ourselves and the world and start asking the question, what is this life really about? What is this world about? With all the highs and lows, oftentimes we find ourselves scratching our head and just kind of, you know, just ask, you know, what's going on? You know, what is this really life about? And, you know, what's going on around me? And there's sometimes in life this past year, you know, we've had some like pleasant surprises as well as some, you know, heartaches and hardships. you know, personally for me, I am on Tim Tebow, you know, bandwagon. Some of you guys know, maybe heard of him, and you know, he's a really good Christian, and you know, and he's really devout, and you know, every interview that he gives, he always, you know, first gives credit to God, and you know, and but my wife, she's not really into sports and football. I mean, she doesn't really watch football, doesn't care, she doesn't know any rules, and but you know, I just like convinced her to finally just, you know. So for the first time in her life, she actually sat down with me, and you know, I'm a Redskins fan, but you know, I had to watch the Broncos game, right? And but you know, just amazing, you know, just as I was following him, and just some of you guys may have seen some of the games, right? I mean, just at the fourth quarter, you know, when it seems like there's just no way these guys are gonna come back. I mean, the way he's been playing at quarterback, he's just not good enough, right? Then just at the last 4 or 5 minutes or something, he just starts throwing balls, and then people start catching left and right, and then just all these incredible things, it just happen, and then they just, you know, just win. Of course, in the last couple weeks, they didn't do too well, but you know, like, I mean, just things like that, when you look at some incredible like finishes like that, especially by Tim Tebow, right? Like, wow, this is amazing. Right? And we just have all these things happening, and that we hear from news that, like, man, what in the world is going on? I mean, like Kim Kardashian, right? I don't know if I'm even saying it right. Not that I really follow what she's doing, but you know, I just heard, I'm just in the headline news, that that after spending millions of dollars, right, she divorces the guy in like 3 days. Something like 72 hours, something like that. I'm sorry, I don't know all the details. I mean, and he's like, man, what is she thinking? You know, what was he thinking, right? Marrying a girl like that. I don't even know why she's still famous. I don't know why people still follow her and all these things. But you know, my point is that under the sun, all kinds of things happen in our lives. All kinds of unexpected things, some really great moments, as well as some really bad moments happened. Now, concerning life, there are lessons to be learned from Ecclesiastes, especially in this passage that we just read. You know, although this book is not one of the most, you know, well-known or familiar books of the Bible, but it is a book permeated with helpful insights into the meaning of life in all of its diversity and complexity. You know, sometimes we think about, when we try to figure our life out, right? What is this life about? I think this is a place that we can turn to. And the first point, I have only 2 points. The first point, and that this passage tells us, is that man is limited. Man is finite. I think perhaps the best known verse in the book is here in verse 11, right? God has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Especially the first half, right? That God has made everything beautiful in its time. You know, basically the author gives a concluding summary of what he has said in the preceding verses 1 through 10. And notice here, actually the second half of verse 11, it says that he has also set eternity in the hearts of men, right? That God has set eternity in the hearts of men. But you know, if you just kind of stop and think about this phrase, it's kind of like a really cryptic phrase, right? What does that really mean, that God has set eternity in the hearts of men? What kind of you know, phrase is this? I mean, what does this really mean, right? And I looked at a couple other the versions, and all the Bible translations like ESV and like New King James and all these other versions still has the same phrase, the eternity in the hearts of man. The idea of the Hebrew word translated eternity is that God has placed a sense of time in the hearts of men. That God has placed, that the word translated eternity, it's really in Hebrew word, is a sense of time in his heart. The author is saying that it is natural for man to reflect on the way things progress in life. That's what he's really saying. That it is only natural for man to kind of try to look at how things happen in our lives and say, what's going on here? In other words, God has made man so that he is concerned with the puzzle of life. In the short time that each of us has here on earth, we think about our own place in the scheme of things. We try to get a handle on the whole and to see how we fit in that larger picture, right? The questions that we ourselves ask as we grow is, where do I fit in? What is my role in this world? Where do I really fit in? And the question that we constantly ask ourselves is that, do I really matter? What I do, my existence, does it really matter at the end? What I do for my job, the way I relate to my parents, my coworkers, friends, family, does it really make any difference? The man, God has created us man in such a way that we always search for significance, right? That question that never escapes us. Do I really matter? Do what I do at school, at work, is that going to really make an impact? What am I doing? The thing is, the reason why we constantly search for the answer is because that's how God has created us. God has put the sense of time in us in such a way that we want to try to put all the pieces together and try to figure this thing called life out. Then he immediately adds that we are not successful in this attempt. In the second half of the verse 11, he has also said, and that yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Man remains merely man. His possibilities are very limited, and the complete picture is beyond him. But it is still natural for man, being what he is, it's natural for him to attempt to put the flow of things in words. And that is what we see in verses 1 through 8. There is a time for everything, right? And a season for every activity under heaven. These verses are carefully formulated, and their theme is stated in verse 1, that there is a time for every kind of activity under heaven. And he mentions various experiences common to us all, as well as the feelings and the emotions that they evoke. Such is life. And that's what he's saying. There is a time to be born. And, you know, as Rennie just made an announcement, there are a few couples that are expecting new babies. There is a time to be born, but also there's a time for people to die. A time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to tear down, and a time to build, and just so on and so forth. There's all kinds of activity that takes place during our lifetime. If anything is clear, it is that our lives are subject to unexpected and radical changes at times. You know, as we reflect on our lives, as it is very natural for us to do, there is so much that we do not understand. There are just simply no, like, really cut and dry kind of solutions and answers. You know, when we were younger, everything was just black and white, right? It's either right or wrong. But as we grow and as we get into the real world, in our job situation, some of those like things are very ethically like gray area, right? Is what I'm about to do, or is what my boss is doing, my coworker is doing, what I'm about to do, is it really ethically right? And there's just no simple answers. When we were younger, life was simpler, solutions were simpler, but as we grow older, we come to realize it's not that simple. And then we kind of struggle to the, what is the solution, right? And our perception and understanding are severely limited. And that's just the way it is. That's how the things work. And so in this verse, in this passage, the first thing that the scripture tells us, the first thing that God tells us is that we as human beings are limited. We are severely limited, and we are finite beings. And yet, we still try our best in our own way, try to figure things out. This year, this is what I want to accomplish. Maybe some of you guys still have that New Year's resolution. I kind of gave up. I'm just not disciplined enough. But some of you may still have that, you know, and that's great. You know, and just try to figure things out. Try to plan, map out our lives. Maybe, you know, by the end of, you know, just 2012, this is what I want to accomplish. Maybe like 10 years down the road, you know, this is what I want to, where I want to be in terms of my career, maybe my spiritual life and all these things. And we try to figure things out, figure our life out. But scripture tells us we are limited. So there is only so much that we can do. And yet, this Ecclesiastes 3:11 has something else to say to us. And that leads to my second point, is that God is sovereign. You know, from the last part of the verse, we learn that the limited perspective that we have of our lives should be said in the context of God's sovereign control of all things. It says, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Our lives are in the hands of the one who has a complete and total perspective, not only of our lives, but of all history. You know, we often see the limited scope of God's work, especially in the context of our lives, right? When it comes to our own lives, we try to just figure things out on our own, or like, what is God trying to do here? What is God's will for me? In this, you know, when we are at a crossroads, or when we have to just make a decision, what does God want me to do? What does God want me to say? But the thing is, that we are limited. We are finite. We don't see the full picture as God does. And that's what the scripture tells us. I know there's a very strong word here. In the first part is of verse 11, he has made everything beautiful in its time. That God has made everything beautiful in its time. It's a really surprising statement and an extremely difficult one for us to accept, right? I mean, really? God has made everything beautiful in its time? Our natural reaction is, I don't think so. No, not with all the tragedies that I have experienced in my life. When I see all the injustice that's going on around me or in this world, all the suffering that's going on in this world, I don't think so. I don't think that everything God has made everything beautiful. We object to that. But what it's saying is that from when the scripture says that he has made everything beautiful in its time, and it says, you know, we cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. What it's really saying is that from our limited perspective, events in our lives and in the world are mired full of disappointments and letdowns. But from the perspective of God's design, it is a creation of great beauty. From our perspective, once again, it's a question of from which perspective do you come from? From our limited, finite perspective, This whole life, this world is full of mess, injustice, tragedies, suffering. But from the perspective of God's design, it is a creation of amazing beauty. All of history, not just certain particular events, is in God's hand. He has made not just some things, but all things beautiful in its time. Once again, not from our finite, limited perspective, tainted by sin, but from God's infinite mind, He has made everything beautiful in its time. It is, for sure, it is a mystery on our part, but completely understood by our sovereign Lord. So what does this all mean? In our difficulties, we need to be reminded that we are not victims of accidental happenings or circumstances. It's not by random chance that things happen in our lives. There is a higher purpose of God that we simply do not understand with our limited perspective. The creator of man is also the creator of human history. When we see this and believe this in our heart, then we begin to see and we begin to view our lives as a work of beauty coming from the hand of God. Needless to say, it is really tough to do. It is really hard for us to swallow that. I do not know the things that have happened in your lives. I have no clue. But my guess is all of us have had our share of heartbreaking moments, tragedies, difficulties that we all went through in varying degrees. And yet, when we see not from our perspective, but from God's perspective, that He's working, He has a higher purpose for each and every one of us, then we can say, you know what? From His perspective, from the bottom of my heart, it's really hard for me to say, but from His perspective, we are a thing of beauty, that God is doing things in our lives that we do not fully comprehend. When you are in a situation that you never asked for in life, it's not easy to say or see it as something beautiful, far from it. But God says, whatever the situation may be, His grace will be sufficient for us. Our lives are in His hand. We don't know how all the pieces of the puzzle fit together, but Bible says, the Word of God says, that He does all things well. And I'm not saying that this understanding or this truth answers all our questions in life. But our questions should be small in comparison to the great answer that God has given us in our midst through His Son, Jesus Christ. I don't mean to belittle the struggles that we go through, the issues that we wrestle with in life. I don't mean to trivialize them, no. But in comparison to the great answer that God has given us through His Son, Jesus Christ, we can still take things in stride. None of us can fathom the works of God. I mean, who of us can figure Him out? I know exactly what God is doing. I know what He's, He has, up His sleeves. We can't. But because of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom is the full revelation of God, we can still say that He has made everything beautiful in its time, even though we don't see it that way, maybe not in our lifetime. When we look at the cross, we can say from His perspective, it is of beauty. You know, cross, when we think about that, at the time, was the saddest and the most horrific event in man's history. How can the Son of God be hung on the cross so helplessly, suffering, and eventually die a criminal's death? How can God the Father let that happen and have the enemy have the victory? When we just, if we're in the shoes of the disciples, or if we had to, you know, at the time, does that really make sense to you? The Son of God being accused, an innocent man being accused and helplessly tortured and just hung on the cross. From our perspective, that's the injustice of all injustice. That's just not right. We could not understand and fathom what God had in mind. But in its time, for that took 3 days, but in its time, God has made it the high point of mankind so that everyone who believes in the name of Jesus Christ will have eternal life and become a child of Almighty God. That is the beauty, the great beauty of the cross. And the crux of the gospel is that we as sinners had absolutely no way to get to God and have access to Him, no inheritance whatsoever. We were so helpless and hopeless. But out of His mercy and grace, God sends His Son and just walks the perfect obedient, lives the perfect obedient life, and at the end, be given over as the ultimate sacrifice, so that when we put our trust in Him as our Lord and Savior, then now we can have that life, the imputed righteousness of Christ. You know, there is a story I heard from Dr. James Dobson. He was a founder of Focus on the Family. And he tells this story. One time, he has a son, and he loves him dearly, and the son loves him dearly. I mean, because he knows that his father just cares for him and all this. They have a great relationship. But when he was really young, his son had to be taken to the hospital for immunization. First time he went to the hospital, and you know, he was really young. He had no idea what was going on, but all he knew was that he was with his father, who loves him dearly. So they went to the doctor's office, and that, you know, for his sake, you know, they had to just take him, you know, just give him the shot. And but you know, the doctor, I mean, the son, obviously he has no clue what's going on, and you see this man that he has never seen before, you know, has this big needle, right, sticking, and then he's about to just poke into his butt, you know. So, you know, obviously he freaks out. It's like, uh-oh, you know, and so he just resists. And so the doctor couldn't do it by himself, so he called Dr. Dobson. Could you please come in? You need to pin him down so that I can just put this needle in there. So he goes in there. And then you see, it's a scene. I mean, the son is just like, he's just crying, he's just resisting. It's like, no. I don't see that, you know, don't let that needle go into my, you know, my body, right? But, he, you know, obviously, as a father, he has to. So he pins him down, right, so that he wouldn't move. And he said that at that moment, when he was pinning him down, he saw the eyes of his son. And the son, obviously, he didn't really like, couldn't really articulate, but you know, his eyes said, "Why, Dad? Why are you making me just, you know, why are you just pinning me down like this? I don't want this. This is painful. Why are you making me do this? I thought you were my dad who loves me." And he said that that was in his eyes. And sometimes the eyes can tell a lot of things. He was so disappointed by his father, the father who's, you know, who loved him so much, would do such a thing against his will. Sometimes that's what happens with us in life. With our limited perspective, say, God, why? Why are you making me go through this? I don't want this. Okay? This is not fair. What I'm going through, no one else is going through. So why do I have to be the one that has to go through this? God, this is not right. Why are you making me go through this? From our limited perspective, we do not understand the work of God in our lives. But the scripture says that God is sovereign. He knows what He's doing. And He makes everything beautiful. I mean, everything. Even the most atrocious, and you know, just the pathetic moments that we may have in our lives. Still, from His perspective, as He's in the business of, you know, shaping us into His image, it is a thing of beauty in the end that we simply do not see. We know the story of Abraham and Isaac. I mean, the children's director kind of briefly mentioned that. But you know, can you imagine the scene? If we were one of the servants, not that we were there, but you know, leading up to that point, how can God command His the father, you know, Abraham, to just sacrifice his own son Isaac, whom he had when he was 100 years old? That's just a miracle in and of itself. And they're commanding him to sacrifice his own son, only son, through whom he promised that there will be this great descendants. All the nations will be blessing. I mean, you know, you could have reasoned with God at the time. But then at the very last moment, as we all know, that God provides a lamb to be slaughtered in his place. And I don't have time to go into it. It's just an amazing picture. Just amazing picture of the gospel right there. But once again, from our perspective, what God has commanded to Abraham to do to his son, that was injustice, that's human sacrifice. That's just not right. But in the end, that was a picture that God gave to all of us. The message of the gospel. Even though we have limited, incomplete perspective on life, let us follow the one who has the complete picture, total perspective, the one who guides our steps, who loves us. We see a face of mercy and grace and love at the cross, the scene of the cross. Though we may experience difficult times, we must confess that the teacher in Ecclesiastes is right when he says, there is a time for everything, and he has made everything beautiful in its time. May that be our confession and our belief. Let's pray. Father, we just come before you at this time, and Lord, as we begin this new year, we don't really know what's in store for us. We know that there will be full of surprises. Some that are just pleasant, great surprises, as well as some letdowns, disappointments, struggles that we may not have foreseen. We don't really know. But Lord, once again, remind us, even though we try to figure things out, even though we try to map our life out, Lord, in the end, it is you who has a complete control of our lives. You are the sovereign Lord. That from your perspective, from your design, what you are doing in our lives, what you will do this year, is a thing of beauty. So help us, God. Help our mind that we may not see all that's going to happen, not just from our own limited perspective, from your perspective, and be assured that you are in it, that you have a higher purpose for us. You do love us. What more do we want from you, God? When you have shown that you do care for us and love us by sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross in our place. So remind us of the cross each day, each moment, that we may remain thankful, that we may have a right perspective, eternal perspective in mind. So just open our eyes, God. And hearts to see and believe that we may just live and just walk with you. And we thank you. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Dr. Woojin. Pastor Woo Jin, so it's time for all.